ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारभम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वा प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमतो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् माहा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः Let's go second section straight. Second chapter. Yadi manyase.
Yadi manyase.
Suveda iti.
Suveda iti.
Dabhrameva.
Dabhrameva.
Have you got other expression? Dharameva.
Dharameva.
Both are okay. Dabhrameva.
Dabhrameva.
Api.
Api.
Noonam.
Noonam.
त्वं वेत्त
ब्रह्मणो रूपम्
यदस्य त्वम् यदस्य देवेषु अथ नु मीमांस्यमेव ते मन्ये विदितम् मीमांस्यमेव ते मीमांस्यमेव ते फुल् सब्जेक्ट् मन्ये विदितम् मन्ये विदितम् इस् अ नेक्स्ट् सेण्टेन्स् सेड् बै द स्टूडेण्ट् That's why the te goes with the previous one. Okay. Till now we have seen the very second chapter is aiming at making me the understanding of aparoksha jnanam. Making us it's aiming at clear understanding of the aparoksha jnanam. So Shankara also, in his commentary, makes all possible efforts to clarify that what aparoksha jnanam actually means. And even though this teacher knows, the student has understood, because the teacher has no, can't have any diffidence about his teaching. The teacher wants to make sure that whether the student has understood clearly. So in order to make his understand, see whether the student's understanding is clear and firm and doubt-free. And he states this, he begins his like this, the mantra itself begins by the teacher saying, Yadi, if you think you know Brahman well, that means you know very little. It means what? you do not know Brahman. And in that context, we saw, if you say, the teacher, student is asking, it is always nice to, it's nice, it's a good, desirable answer if the student says, yes, I know Brahman, I know Brahman, I've understood Brahman very well. The student says, it's a good thing, good answer only. Isn't it a good answer? The teacher says, if Brahman has been understood well, it's very good, but the Brahman should not have been understood as an object. The understanding should not be like an understanding of any object. Because whenever we say, I know this very well, I understood this very well, I know this very well, then naturally that knowledge is always of an object only. In all our expressions, whenever we say, I know well, means that object of knowledge, the what is known, is always an object only. And therefore, Brahman should not be taken such a way that how you understand any object, any other object, well, the same way you should not think you understood Brahman also. Why? Because why this doubt itself comes? So he says, Yadhi Vedyam Vastu. Vedyam Vastu. The Vedyam Vastu means an object to be known. An object to be known alone, Vishayi Bhavati, means becomes objectified. An object alone is objectifiable, objectified. And that objectifiable thing, which is an object, it is possible for one to know that object well, which is objectifiable. Whereas, what about Brahman? Brahman is the Atma. Atma is what? Brahman the Atma. Atma is never an object of knowledge, non-objectifiable, imperceptible, non-object, which is always available for understand recognition only as a subject of knowledge. And as because Atma is the ultimate knower, ultimate experiencer, therefore, as it is not, Brahman is not an object, therefore, if a person says, I know Brahman well, then one may take Brahman as an object of knowledge. That means, there is no understanding of Brahman. Thereafter he said, he continued saying, see, Brahman being the Atma, and Atma being not an object, and Atma being ever the subject itself cannot be an object also simultaneously. Here both subject and the object. Atma is neither the object, nor is it subject and object simultaneously. An Atma, you can't even say Atma is available for recognition as a subject, means it's not subject of an available experience, available in a given particular experience. Any object is available for experience only in a given experience, isn't it? This tumbler means what? Tumbler is an object only in a given experience, isn't it? The same way, that Atma, a subject also, is not available only in a given experience, isn't it? Atma is available as a subject of knowledge in all the experiences. All the experiences as the ultimate knower. And if Atma being the subject, ever the subject, it can never be the object. So Atma can know everything in the world. Listen, Atma can live in everything in the world, but Atma by itself cannot know itself. Like what? Fire can burn anything else, but fire cannot burn its own swarupam. Fire cannot burn itself. that we saw that. In that context, I stopped in last class. What I said was the aparoksha jnanam, because Brahma jnanam or Atma jnanam is always said to be aparoksha jnanam. Aparoksha jnanam is a very unique knowledge which is not like an knowledge of any object. Because the very word aparoksham means, aparoksha means anything pertaining to the self is aparoksha. It can be aparoksha jnanam or aparoksha brahmaha. Any self misconception is called what? Aparoksha brahmaha. Aparoksha brahmaha means self misconception. Self, isn't it? But aparoksha jnanam is self knowledge, we say. Aparoksha jnanam, and always in many books and all, aparoksha jnanam is translated as direct experience. Isn't our Pomji, I told you what is pratyaksha jnanam, paroksha jnanam, and aparoksha jnanam. Then I said knowledge of, whether it is an indirect or direct knowledge. Knowledge is always of an object only. A knowledge of subject, actually, is it, in fact, actually it's not, people call it as immediate knowledge. We say it immediate knowledge. But there, immediate knowledge means it is not actually, even then, Atma doesn't become object of knowledge.
No.
Isn't it? And the people translate it as aparoksha jnana, means direct experience. To clarify that, okay, if you say aparoksha jnanam is a direct experience of self, something if you say, then also that's wrong. Experience itself means something which happens in a given time, at a given place, of a given object. Isn't it? Whereas aparoksha jnanam is not a direct experience. So last class we saw that. Then, what is aparoksha jnanam? That means, you have to understand what Vedanta as a pramanam does. Isn't it? So, Vedanta as a pramanam, it does not create, does not change the experiences we have, nor does it add, or nor does it bring about any new experience. That means, what does Vedanta do then? Vedanta is a pramanam, and when it is used properly, it results in aparoksha jnanam. That means, see, Vedanta contributes for actually our right conclusion about the self. We all have knowledge of the self. But we are not ignorant of the self. Okay, but our knowledge of self is erroneous. If we are totally ignorant of the self, then we cannot be taught, isn't it? Like any animal is totally ignorant of the self. But we are all not totally ignorant of the self. We know the self. Okay, but our knowledge of the self is not right knowledge, but wrong knowledge. It's erroneous knowledge. Therefore, at least ignorance need not be corrected, isn't it? But error has to be corrected. Ignorance doesn't require any correction. Ignorance only need to be removed, isn't it? But error has to be corrected. And the error also is based on some ignorance only. Error also is because of some error, ignorance only. Therefore, and here, because Vedanta gives is an experience, and that experience which something which comes newly, which will go, isn't it? But what Vedanta gives, and an object that the object of experience must be time bound and spatially bound. Whereas here Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam happens to be aparoksha jnanam. Here what is that error in our conclusion, what is erroneous perception of the self? What is the wrong conclusion of the self? Our conclusion of the self is wrong means. How? Because See, we have our experiences, and then which are natural, and those experiences, and based on our experience only, you know, we arrive at the conclusion. Our experiences being what they are, we arrive at the conclusion based on our experiences that I am so and so, isn't it? I am the knower. Once you say I am the knower, and then naturally the division comes. The knower is knower, I am different from the known world. And therefore, not only that, once I am the knower and I am an individual, as an individual, I am a limited being. As a limited being, I become an object of, isn't it, a victim. Isn't it? I am a victim of, I am victimized by this world, the universe. Being dependent on the world, I am victimized by the world also, universe also. And thereby, I need to pray and worship to seek support of Bhagavan as a savior. Bhagavan has to save me. Isn't it? This is the conclusion we have. The wrong conclusion. So Vedanta does not really give us new experiences, nor does Vedanta change the experiences we have, but Vedanta only helps us to process our experiences. Isn't it? The experience which you already have are processed, become revised and process, isn't it? The processing of the experiences alone is what now needs in the revision, isn't it? What is revised is, experiences are not revised, but the processing of experiences alone is revised. The Vedanta helps us in a way that we Vedanta Pramanam becomes an extra equipment for us. Like how our specs become an extra equipment for us to have the clear vision of certain subtle things, finer things. So also Vedanta becomes an extra equipment for the buddhi, which makes the buddhi see clearly. No? So that our experiences, the processing of experiences becomes revised. The processing, so Vedanta only helps us to revise the processing of our experiences without changing the experiences. So that revised processing of experiences results in revised conclusion. Therefore, it is only Vedanta, that's why we say revised conclusion, which is the right conclusion. Therefore, it is not experiential matter. It is only cognitive issue. It's purely cognitive. This is what we saw in the last class. Remember, we stopped here last class. And therefore, so before the Vedanta Pramanam Vedanta is used as a Pramanam. Or what was our knowledge? Our conclusion was, I am a limited individual as a Pramata, and the world is different from me, and thereby microcosm limited individual, become victimized by this universe. Therefore, I also need Bhagavan's grace to be saved. And after Jnanam, what happens is it? We call it triangular format. And after Jnanam, this only the whole format changes. I said this. The whole format changes. Means after Jnanam, as from an aproksha Jnanam, what happens is there is no such thing called Aham Brahma. The universe also is Brahma. And the Lord also is Brahma. There is no Ishvara. There's no I, there's no, isn't it? There's no universe also. In absolute sense. Still in your perceptions, the world is, Ishvara is in the form of world, and you are there as an individual, with all limitations, but still absolute sense. The perceptions you do not deny, but cognitively you know the non-difference. You see the non-difference. So there, as a pramata, when, as before jnanam, as a pramata, isn't it, when your conclusions are based on your experiences, unprocessed experiences, then your conclusion is what now? I am a knower. When you say I am a knower, individual, victimized by the universe, now seeking the help of Ishvara, then that knower, you are, in that you, mind also is included. Mind is included there. Whereas in aparoksha jnanam, in jnanam, after Vedanta pramanam is used, with the help of the Vedanta pramanam, you revise the processing of your experiences, then you arrive at the conclusion wherein you exclude the mind. Okay? Our conclusion, wherein aham brahma asmi, I am the knower, is not there. Aham brahma asmi, in that jnanam, you've excluded mind. If you include the mind, you are a pramata. Exclude the mind, you are a brahma. Is it clear? So how can you exclude the mind? Not physically, isn't it? So the cognitive exclusion of mind from you, the I, and what remains as I is pure consciousness. The pure consciousness is, as pure consciousness, aham brahma. Once aham brahma asmi, then in that brahma, I itself is not there. So where is the question of becoming victimized by the universe? And the universe also is not there. Where is the question of being victimized by the universe? And the Ishvara also is not there. Where is the question of being saved by the Ishvara? Got it? This is purely cognitive. And similarly, it is one way when I'm seeing it. And also what now? As before jnanam, I am a sadhaka, okay, sadhaka, and see, mayi sadhakatva buddhihi, I am a sadhaka, and all the efforts I make, all my actions are what? Sadhanani, sadhana buddhihi, sadhanatva buddhihi. Then moksha, moksha sadhyatva buddhihi, moksha is something to be accomplished, my end. And I am an accomplisher of the moksha, and therefore I have what now? I make all possible efforts, the call me karmas I do, whatever, sadhanani. Okay, this sadhaka, sadhana, sadhya, bhedas also resolve in jnanam. Triangular format becomes what? Binary. In jnanam. Therefore, it is purely a cognitive issue, means what does Vedanta do here? Vedanta just helps you correct your notion, okay, the wrong conclusion about yourself. Aparoksha brahmaha is corrected, thereby, aparoksha brahmaha is corrected. What is there is aparoksha jnanam. And for correcting the wrong conclusion, correcting the confusion, misconception, all that Vedanta does is to arrive at the right conclusion, arrive at the right, isn't it? By correcting your wrong notion you already have about yourself, all that Vedanta does is it helps you, what no? Really, revise the processing of your experiences. See, without changing the experiences, having the perceptions as they are, still we are very clear, isn't it? Even though in our perception, sun rises in the east and sets in the west, but still, in cognitively, without denying our perceptions, we have changed our understanding. The sun doesn't rise and set, isn't it? Here, when this aparoksha brahmaha is corrected, we arrive at the right conclusion. There is a non, isn't it? Without comprehending the self, you are comprehending the self. Is it comprehension without comprehension is what? Actually, you claim consciousness as the self. Claiming consciousness as the self is what? Claiming yourself being Brahma. This was the Paroksha Jnana. That is why Aham Brahma Asmi is the correct Jnanam. I know Brahman is the Aparoksha Brahmaha. Aham Brahma Asmi is Aparoksha Jnanam. I know Brahman is Aparoksha Brahmaha. Is it clear? It's all old lessons of the last class. I think last class I made very, very clear. I repeated too many times. And here, we'll see three now. We'll go to the text now. Dahyamiva. Dagdhum agnehe dagdhu natu agnehe swarupameva agnehe for fire dagdhum. It is possible for the fire to burn something, an object different from it, fire. But dagduhu swarupameva agnehe swarupameva dagduhu agnehe swarupameva dagdum na shakyam, isn't it? It is not possible for the fire to burn its own swarupam. In the same way, sarvasyahi vedituhu swaatma brahma iti sarva vedantanam sunischitaha artaha. So he says sarva vedantanam sunischitaha artaha, very clearly reconfirmed, isn't it? Very clearly confirmed in our vision of all the Upanishads is this. Sarva Vedantanam, Nischitaha Artaha means what now? Definitely stated. But Sunischitaha means doubtlessly, very clearly stated vision of all the Upanishads, you know, is that Atma Brahma, the self is, self of every being, every individual is nothing but the reality Brahma. That means what? What is the self here? Sarvasya vedituhu. The self of every knower. Sarvasya vedituhu asva atma. Every knower, the self of every knower is nothing but Brahman. Iti thus is the clear vision of all the Upanishads. So self of every knower means what? Knower. Every knower is what? No, mind with consciousness alone is the knower, isn't it? This we earlier also have seen this. If you analyze what is this process of knowing, if you understand, then you will know who the knower is. We have relative knower and there's also absolute knower. Is it? See, every knower, with reference to every individual, is the relative knower is the mind. The absolute knower is what the know, the Atma, without which, without whose presence the mind cannot know, mind cannot have the status of being the knower. That Atma, being pure consciousness, the pure consciousness is what now? The absolute knower, in which is the Swarupam, Atma, the innermost self of every knower. Isn't it clear? That means to know that innermost self of every knower, you have to separate what? Consciousness and mind. See, you can never, a physical separation of consciousness and mind is not possible. Not possible, isn't it? Whenever there is a process of knowing, there must be what? Mind. When the mind is resolved, there's no process of knowing. This knowing doesn't happen. It's the act of knowing doesn't happen. When the mind is resolved, there's no process of knowing does not happen. There's no act of knowing doesn't happen. The function of knowing doesn't happen. Because the instrument of knowing, the mind is resolved. And that mind, we saw, that mind, but without the consciousness also, cannot have the status of being the knower. Because mind by itself being inert, insentient, you know, it cannot, even the mind, to come to light first of all, to have the status of being existent, it needs to be illumined by consciousness. And to become conscious and sentient, it needs to be blessed by consciousness. And thereby to become capable of illumining the external world through the senses and the body also, what now? It needs to be blessed by consciousness. So mind is a conscious mind. Mind becomes a conscious mind, being blessed by the mere presence of consciousness. Therefore, mind is the knower. Isn't it? Mind, actually, mind is the knower means what? Mind is relative knower. But without consciousness, mind cannot know by itself. Therefore, the ultimate, the absolute knower is consciousness, Atma. And that Atma, the consciousness, is the innermost self of every knower. Therefore, Sarvasya Vedituhu, Sva Atma is Brahma. What is Brahman? A Atma, the innermost self of every knower, being pure consciousness. You cognitively exclude the mind from Atma, consciousness, the knower. Take the knower, remove the mind and consciousness, and separate the mind and consciousness cognitively, and then the mind, then without the consciousness, mind cannot have the status of being the knower. Then what is consciousness? The consciousness is the innermost self, Swa-Atma of every knower. That consciousness is one indivisible partless whole. That Atma is Brahma. Iti sarva-vedantanam sunischitaha artaha. This is the definite vision of all the Upanishads. Ihacha तदेव प्रतिपादितम् इह मीन्स् वाट् हियर् आल्सो इन् दिस् उपनिषद् आल्सो तदेव प्रतिपादितम् दट् द सेम् विषन् आफ् तदेव मीन्स् वाट् नो द सेम् विषन् आफ् आल् दि उपनिषद्स् Okay, the definitely stated vision of all the Upanishads, that innermost self of every knower is the consciousness which is Brahman, that is revealed, pratipaditam. That is what has been revealed here. How? Prashna prativachana uktya. Prashna prativachana uktya. Through this dialogue, in the form of dialogue, between the teacher and the student, the same vision of all the Upanishads has been revealed here. And how? And he quotes the mantras from the first chapter. Shrotrasya Shrotram. ityadyaya.
Ityadyaya.
Okay. So, ityadi, ityadyaya shrutya. That's the meaning. There are so many mantras, and there he quotes that one mantra from the first chapter, shrotrasya shrotram. When the definition of Atma is given in that first mantra, second mantra, shrotrasya shrotram, chakshushaha, chakshuhe, etc. In that mantra, what is revealed is, Atma is the ear of the ear, eye of the eye, etc. Nothing but Atma. And that Atma is what? No, a innermost self of even the every knower, which is exclusively what now? Which excludes the mind, and which only pure consciousness, that pure consciousness alone, Brahma, that is what is revealed by, in this Upanishad also, by such mantras. And even through those mantras, the same vision has been revealed. He also quotes another mantra. Yadvacha.
Yadvacha.
Anabhyuditam.
Anabhyuditam.
So, vacha anabhyuditam. He quotes another mantra, the fourth mantra from the first chapter. Vacha anabhyuditam. Yena vagabhyudyate. Remember that mantra? So, he quotes that mantra. Iticha. Visheshataha avadharitam. Visheshataha avadharitam is what now? It has been reconfirmed, isn't it? Very repeatedly it was reconfirmed. Avadharitam means what? It has been made very clear. Avadharitam means what? Well understood, established. Visheshataha avadharitam. Brahmavite. So now hope you understood what is aparoksha jnanam. Is it clear? Because mainly he wants to make it very clear the nature of aparoksha jnanam. Brahmavite.
Brahmavite.
Sampradaya.
Sampradaya.
Nischaya. Nischaya.
Nischaya.
Cha uktaha.
Cha uktaha.
Brahmavite sampradaya nischayascha uktaha. Anyadeva.
Anyadeva.
Tad.
Tad.
Viditat.
Viditat.
Atho.
Atho.
Aviditat.
Aviditat.
Adhi.
Adhi.
Again he quotes the mantra, the third mantra also. The sampradaya nischeha cha uktaha. Brahmavit sampradaya nischeha. You know, sampradaya nischeha means the definiteness of the teacher being the sampradaya with, and also sampradaya nischeha, sampradaya, he knows sampradaya, and also he knows the truth. That also has been said very clearly, wherein other mantra, anya devatad, aviditatadi, that mantra also which reveals, it's also another definition of Brahman. And wherein, iti upanyastam, upanyastam, which has been already lectured, which has been already taught, is it? Upanyastam, which is already taught. Upanyastam should be taken as already taught. Upasamharishyati cha. It's going to say later again, the same second chapter, the next mantra. Avijnatam. Avijnatam.
Vijanatam.
Vijnatam.
Avijanatam.
Vijanatam. Avijnatam. For those who say, for those who claim that they know Brahman, for them it is unknown, and those for whom it is unknown, it is known. Brahman is known for those who say that they know Brahman. Brahman is unknown for those who say they do not know Brahman. Isn't it? Iti tasmade uktameva Sishyasya
Suveda iti
Buddhim
Nirakartum.
So, then that even other, the third mantra in the first chapter also, when it reveals the definition of Brahman, what does it say? Brahman is not an object which falls in the category of known or the unknown. Brahman is neither the known nor the unknown, means known and the unknown both being the object. Brahman being not an object means Brahman is only available for the recognition only as the subject. Even that mantra also has been already said. That means available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge means how then not even as the absolute, Brahman being absolute knower, not as the individual knower, but as the very swarupam of every knower, and wherein mind has to be excluded. Isn't it? We said. Now he says here, Tasmadu, Sri Shankara says here, what does he say? Yukta meva, Sishyasya Suveda iti Buddhim Nirakartum. It is right on the part of this teacher. The Shankara says, it is right on the part of the teacher to negate Nirakartum, not to accept the student's answer that I know Brahman very well. Or to clarify, to clarify the student's understanding, to make sure that the student has right understanding. Therefore, it is very natural for the student, it is right on the part of the teacher to ask this again. If you say you know Brahman, you do not know. Mm-hmm. How can the teacher say that? It is right on the part of the teacher to say this, that if the student says he knows Brahman, the student can say, teacher can say, no, you do not know Brahman. Is it clear or not?
Yes.
So, nira sishyasya suveda iti buddhim, I know well. This understanding, nirakartam, to reject it, to not accept it, it is appropriate for the teacher to do that. Now he says, now again he goes again,
nahi
vedituhu veditum
shakyaha
agniriva
dagdhum
agnehe. He says nahi vedita vedituhu vedita veditum na shakyaha. Vedita means knower. Vedituhu swaru vedita veditum. Vedituhu swarupam veditum. Is it? Na shakyaha. Knower cannot be the knower of one's own swarupam. Knower can never know its own swarupam. Isn't it? The knower can know anything in the world, but knower cannot know its own swarupam. So, Vedituhu means what now? Knowers. Veditum, to know. It is infinitive. Veditum is infinitive. To know. The swarupam of the Vedita, knower, okay, nahi shakyaha, it is not possible for the knower to know its own swarupam, one's own swarupam. Like what? Like how? Agnihi swarupam dagdum, isn't it? Agnihi iva. Fire cannot burn its own swarupam. So also knower cannot know knower's own swarupam. Is it? Sun cannot illumine itself. Isn't it? Similarly, fire cannot burn its own swarupam. That's why we give anything. Eyes cannot see themselves. washed, isn't it? Eyes cannot see themselves means eyes cannot see themselves. Eyes can never see themselves. And if at all eyes can see themselves, eyes can see only their reflections, reflected eyes. And for which there must be what now? For eyes to have, to see their reflections, eyes need reflecting, what now? The reflecting, manifesting medium. Isn't it? And even then, eyes cannot see the original eyes. Eyes can see only the reflected eyes. So the eye, when the eyes see the reflection of their the reflection, their own reflections in the mirror, that eyes seeing their own reflections is the proof for what now? Proof, isn't it? Itself is what now? Eyes claiming their capacity to see. Isn't it? Really, actually, they do not exist. The reflection of eyes does not establish existence of eyes. Nor does the mirror establish existence of the eyes. Mirror cannot establish the existence of eyes. Mirror is incapable of establishing the existence of eyes. Isn't it? Not reflection of eyes, isn't it? Establish existence of eyes. But the mirror only serves as manifesting for the manifestation of eyes. Eyes are dependent on the mirror, but not for the existence. In the same way, here also, mind is what now? Only the manifesting medium for Atma. Okay? And therefore, the reflection of because of the reflection of consciousness alone, mind itself is what now? Mind is conscious and sentient. Here, the mind, therefore, mind cannot, mind the knower, reflection or the mind, both are what now? Dependent on the original consciousness for their existence. Whereas they cannot reveal the consciousness. Mind cannot know. Mind cannot know its own swarupam. No, mind cannot know. All the claim is what? I am consciousness. Swarupam can be what? No, it can only say that, isn't it? Aham Brahma. Okay. It's he says, Nacha Anyaha Vedita. Brahmanosti Brahmanaha Anyaha Vedita Na Asti. There is no other knower of Brahman. Okay? If you say consciousness, is it? If you say consciousness is the knower of consciousness, how do you know consciousness is the knower of consciousness? In the Brahmanaha Anyaha Vetana, there is no other knower of consciousness. There is no other knower of consciousness, Brahman. If mind cannot see consciousness, know the consciousness, then is there any other knower who can know the consciousness? Brahman. Brahmanaha Anyaha Vedita Nasti. There is no other knower. There is nothing other than Brahman is. Therefore, there is no other knower who knows consciousness, a Brahman. Therefore, you can't even say, what now? The knower. The knower means what now? The knower is that which has the status of being the knower is only the mind. And the mind by itself cannot have the status of being the knower. Therefore, the knower, what is that which gives the mind, the status of being in over is consciousness. Isn't it? If a separated consciousness, not physically, cognitively, that consciousness is actually Atma, which is the substance of the substantive I. The substance of substantive Aham. What is Aham? Aham, first initially we have Aham means physical body. Then Aham means pranas. Aham means mind. Aham means senses. Everything is Aham only for us. And at least some analysis helps you what now? I am the knower. Aham, jnata, vedita. And even vedita also. Vedituhu swarupam. What is the swarupam of vedita? That is Atma. The mind is the vedita, the knower. The swarupam of the mind is what? That is what is Atma. That is pure consciousness. That is the substance of substantive Aham. Then that Chaitanyam is Aham. Then Aham, the Chaitanyam is what? Brahma. There you are not knowing your Swarupam. You are claiming your Swarupam. That is the difference. Okay? In Aparoksha Jnanam, there is no knowledge. Brahman is not known. Brahman is only claimed. This is what I want to arrive at. You are not knowing Brahman in Aparoksha Jnanam. You are claiming Brahman as yourself, as your Swarupam. Whose Swarupam? The Swarupam of the knower. If you think I am the knower and your knower's swarupam is what? Consciousness. And consciousness is the content of Aham. Therefore, consciousness is content of Brahma. Therefore, Aham Brahma Asmi is what only you, the knower, claiming one swarupam, being consciousness, isn't it? Being consciousness, they were claiming swarupam being Brahman is aparoksha jnanam, not knowing Brahman. Okay, Brahmanaha anyaha vedita nasti. Brahman is the absolute knower, means there is no other knower which knows Brahman. You got it? That's why he states that. Hope I didn't confuse you. Nacha anyaha vedita brahmanaha asti yasya vedyam anyat syat brahma. Suppose, if we said there is another knower, isn't it, who knows Brahman, the Brahman becomes what now? Brahman something to be known again. Brahman becomes an object of knowledge if there is another knower who knows Brahman. To make it very clear, aparoksha jnanam is not an direct experience. Okay? A direct experience. Therefore, na anyate, ataha asti, vijnatru. Therefore, anyate, na anyate, ataha asti, ataha, anyate nasti vijnatru. There's no other knower other than Brahman. The only knower is Brahman. The absolute knower is Brahman. There is no other absolute knower. Is it clear now? No other knower other than Brahman. That means what? Everything else is object of knowledge of Brahman. And Brahman is the only subject. of knowledge. Nanyaha vijnatru ataha nasti. There is no other knower other than Brahman. If Brahman is only knower and you say you are knower, what are you then? You are Brahman. You are claiming or knowing? Tell me. Claiming, isn't it? You are claiming. That is what aparoksha jnanam is what? Just claiming. Is there any other knower other than Brahman? You have to think, is there any other illuminator other than sun? Just take one sun as an example. Any other illuminator other than sun?
Yeah.
Isn't it? No, just example, just don't switch the example. Is there any other knower other than Brahman? No, yes, mind is the knower. You will say that. Yes, mind is the knower, but only relative knower, not the absolute knower. Why do you say mind is only relative knower, not the absolute knower? Because mind without consciousness cannot be the knower. Mind is just the mind, jadam mind, inert mind. What is surupam of the knower? Okay, when the mind is the knower means, what is the surupam of the mind? Consciousness. And that consciousness is what now? Absolute knower. That is why even when the mind is non-functional, mind being non-functional becomes known because of the presence of what no? Consciousness. And the knower without the one who knows the knower mind being non-functional. Knower being not there. Knower being non-functional. Is it? Who is the knower? Who is there knowing the knower being non-functional in deep sleep state? That knower is none other than consciousness. So we can never say consciousness is the knower, we can never say, because knowing is not an action, it is the very swarupam. Therefore, there is no, all that you can say is, there is no knower other than consciousness. Anyaha vijnata, anyate ataha vijnatru nasti. Na anyat ataha vijnatru. Is it clear now? There is no other knower. But who is the absolute knower? Consciousness. And that consciousness happens to be one indivisible partless whole. The same consciousness is the swarupam of every knower, every mind. Relative knowers are many, but absolute knower is one and the same consciousness. Therefore, there is no other knower of Brahman, the absolute knower. Therefore, when you say Brahman is the only absolute knower, so which is a swarupam atma, swa atma of a vedit, every sarvasya vedit hu swa atma, vedit, isn't it, swarupam of every knower. Therefore, every knower's swarupam being, isn't it, consciousness, Brahman, what no? Every knower is Brahman. You are the knower. If a knower is Brahman, therefore you are Brahman. Here, this is what now? You are cognitively excluding the mind, taking only the consciousness. You are claiming what now? Yourself being Brahman. Is it clear? This is what is aparoksha jnanam. Iti, okay, na anyate.
Na anyate.
Ato ataha asti.
Ataha asti.
Vijnatru.
Vijnatru.
Ataha, therefore, anyate vijnatru nasti. Iti, anyaha vijnata pratishidhyate. No, it is another knower is what now? Negated. Pratishiddhitam is what now? It is rejected. Not accepted. There is no other knower. It analyzes very well, is there a knower absolutely other than consciousness which is Brahman? No. Hope you are getting it.
Vijnatri knower.
Vijnatru is knower, yeah. Vijnatru is a mola shabda, nominative vijnata. Tasmat, therefore, you are having it, no? Therefore, Sushtu Veda Aham Brahma, I know Brahman very well. Iti Pratipattihi, this understanding, Iti Pratipattihi means understanding. This understanding that I know Brahman very well is Mithya Eva, is incorrect. It is not appropriate knowledge. It is not correct knowledge. It is not clear knowledge. Okay? The understanding that I know Brahman is not the appropriate clear knowledge. It is some unclear, vague understanding. Why? Because, isn't it? That means there is no way of making Brahman an object. Isn't it? And here, now I want to tell you here. See here, suppose if you say, I know Brahman, the Brahman becomes what now? Brahman becomes an object of experience, and any experience happens in a given time, at a given time, in a given place, isn't it? And then of a given object alone. And every object being time-bound, experience also is time-bound. Therefore, Brahman is, suppose even if you say that Brahman, How do you say, even then people can claim, no, I do have an experience of Brahman. There are two ways of saying that. I tell you, that experience, suppose if you say, I know I have some experience of Brahman. Such a Brahman, if at all if you have experience of Brahman, you say, that experience, Brahman that is experienced is Sagunam Brahma. Okay, the Brahman, if at all you say, I had some experience of Brahman, that Brahman is what now? That Brahman is, which is available for experience, isn't it? At a given place, given time, is what now? Is said to be Sagunam Brahma, not Nirgunam Brahma. Or you can say Sopadhikam Brahma or Savisesham Brahma. You can say all these words. Savisesham Brahma, Sopadhikam Brahma or Sagunam Brahma. And this Sagunam Brahma is of, you can say, two types of experience you can have. When somebody sits in meditation, okay, practices meditation, we have to condemn all these things. What is aparoksha jnanam? Aparoksha jnanam alone, and I told you already, aparoksha jnanam itself will not be effective. Aparoksha jnanam itself is not moksha. Without aparoksha jnanam, moksha is not possible, but aparoksha jnanam itself is not moksha. That means what? Aparoksha jnanam. Now, before aparoksha jnanam, you have certain mindset. Isn't it? That mindset, still what is that mindset? In that you have this triangular format is very much there, that I am an individual knower victimized by this external universe seeking the help of Savior Bhagavan. Okay? That mindset also has to change. Only then there is mokshaha. Only then aproksha jnanam becomes effective. Isn't it? For the triangular format to change into binary format, what you need is nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam alone will help you, change the mindset. What is nididhyasanam for? Contemplation. Isn't it? Constantly reminding yourself of what you have claimed now. I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi. Now you have not known Brahman. You have only claimed yourself being a real self being Brahman, excluding the Anatma mind. Body is okay. Excluding the Anatma mind, isn't it? Then claiming yourself, your real Surupam as Brahman, then you remind yourself again and again and again, which is Nididhyasanam, which alone will help you to change the format, change the mindset, which is Jivan Mukti. But then it becomes what now? Nididhyasanam becomes spontaneous, effortless. Isn't it? Of course you need an effort, we call it. But Nididhyasanam is impossible without aparoksha jnanam. Without nididhyasanam, now the moksha is not there. But aparoksha jnanam itself is a problem, isn't it? Aparoksha jnanam is not an experience. It is not knowledge of Brahman, isn't it? Brahma jnanam, we can say, even though we can say self-knowledge of Brahman, it is not actually, you can't say, I know Brahman, aham brahmasmi. So, first, aparoksha jnanam, people are not at all clear about aparoksha jnanam. And where's the question of contemplating? Contemplation, isn't it? Got it? Then aparoksha jnanam, then nididhyasanam will result in what? Aparoksha anubhavaha. Okay, aparoksha anubhuti, which is spontaneous, which is not an experience, okay? There's only changing of the mindset should be taken as an experience. This aparoksha anubhava. It is like how I see the light in seeing, I cannot miss. Before jnanam, I was seeing only the opaque objects. And opaque objects were real for me. After I understood what the light is, isn't it? Then I see the opaque still, but I can't miss the light being one light in every opaque object, which is spontaneous, isn't it? I don't have to think all the time. I see the table and light. Specks and light. I don't need to remember that way. Spontaneous, isn't it? It's called what now? Aparoksha anubhavaha. Like that, seeing pure consciousness, not through physical eyes, isn't it? Not being able to miss the consciousness in every perception, isn't it? Always, is what now? Aparoksha anubhavaha, which is jivan muktihi, which is possible, which is not an experience. Aparoksha anubhavaha is also not an experience. It is what? Spontaneous state. That means what? Which is a changing of mindset. Change of the mindset. Isn't it? Because previous mindset has been changed. Aparoksha anubhutihi or aparoksha anubhavaha. If people do not have the proper understanding of what is aparoksha jnanam, and imagine what sort of contemplation they can have. Then they it's all hypocrisy, isn't it? They think they're contemplating. Hope you got it. What we said. So here the doubt comes. Suppose somebody claims also, I know Brahman, then that I experience Brahman means that which is available for experience is what now? Definitely sopadhikam or sagunam or savisesham Brahma.
Ishvara.
Okay, so we call it as Ishvara means again what? The whole, isn't it? We are talking about this particular thing. I'll tell you what it is. Sagunam Brahma is Ishvara, but still here, sopadhikam Brahma, sagunam Brahma, I say. And sagunam Brahma is of two types. How? Suppose when you practice meditation. Now in practicing meditation, suppose you raise the Kundalini Shakti through all the chakras. And then by raising the Kundalini Shakti, it's a particular technique of meditation. Meditative technique by practicing which you raise the Kundalini Shakti. And Kundalini Shakti is all just, it goes up, Sahasrara and all that. You only experience. And before that experience was, there was not experience. It was not there before. It's a beginning. And because there's a beginning, that experience will not last long also. That will go. So what? That such an experience is not moksha, not aparoksha jnanam, not aparoksha anubhuti, not mukti. That's why you don't need to work at the, there is nothing to do with spirituality. Why do you want to go and disturb the snake? What do you have to do? It's not spirituality, isn't it? So, in meditation, suppose sometimes meditation you do and you have some experience. And that experience also is what now? Your own state of your own mind. Some experience which a person has, everything is Brahman when we say, the particular state of mind which you gain as a result of practice of meditation is what? Brahman, isn't it? Therefore we can say, people call Brahman, we can say, that's what now, actually, Adhyatma Upadhi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma. Adhyatma, if somebody has any extra special experience as a result of meditation, that experience, people, if they claim it is Brahman, of course everything is Brahman only. Therefore that particular experience is what? Brahman only. But what do we call it? Sagunam Brahma. And what Sagunam Brahma is, of two types, I said, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That condition of mind, your own mental state, is said to be what? No, Adhyatma Upadhi Avachinna Brahma. Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma. Conditioned by Brahman, conditioned by a given state of mind. Yes, Sagunam Brahma. If I can associate light only with this table, what is Prakasha? Table Avachinna Prakasha. Conditioned, isn't it? So the mental state, Brahman, conditioned by a given state of mind, which you gained as a result of the practice of meditation, is individual. It's called Adhyatma Avachinna, Adhyatma Upadhi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma. Brahman conditioned by a given state of mind. Why? Because that experience was not there before. That Brahman was not available before. And that experience doesn't stay long, last long. It won't be there afterwards also. It comes and goes. Is it clear? And such is one thing. And sometimes when people worship different devatas, devata aradhanam, devata upasanam they do. Some given forms also. When people very seriously meditate upon such forms, then they may have what? Even they can have the darshanam of such devatas also. It is possible. See, where what Upanishad talks about them, see? It's called, you know, devata sakshatkara. Direct, you can have direct experience of some sort of condition of the mind and direct experience of some devatas. It is possible. And such direct experience of such devatas also is also what now? Any devata is Brahma. Any devata is Brahma. But that experience of devata is what?
Experience
of Brahman, conditioned by the devata form. Therefore, it is called what now? We say, like Adhyatma, now he say, Adidaiva. Adidaiva Upadi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma. Adhyatma Upadi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma is one, isn't it? One Sagunam Brahma. Another form of Sagunam Brahma is what now? Adhidaiva Upadi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma. Adhidaiva Upadi or Adhyatma Upadi. Both Upadis. Upadi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma is what now? Brahman conditioned by a given state of mind, isn't it, which you experience as a result of practice of meditation, which your own mental condition is what now? Adi Adhyatma Upadi, isn't it? Avahita or Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma, conditioned by a given mind, state of mind. And Adi Daiva Upadi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma means what? Again, experience of Brahman, definitely as experience of Brahman only, experience of Brahman conditioned by a given form of Devata, given Devata, Upadi. Is it clear now? So now, suppose even as because of practice of meditation and all that, if you have some experience, even if you claim that experience to be experience of Brahman, of course, the whole prapancha is what? You experience, what are you experiencing? Whether you know this fact or not, when experiencing the universe, experience of universe is nothing but experience of Brahman only. Isn't it? When experiencing ocean, what are you experiencing? Water. Experience of ocean is experience of water. Experience of opaque is experience of light. Never is it possible for you to experience just the opaque alone without the light. Experience of table is experience of wood is experience of table, in fact. Similarly, experience of anything in the jagat is what? Experience of Brahman alone. Only thing is we are not able to distinguish because of subtleness. Therefore, suppose we're practicing special, making efforts in meditation also, some subtle, supra, you can say that something, ESP, some you have that extra sensory perception, something you have some special experience also. Anything which is available for experience is an object of experience which has a beginning and an end. Therefore, Brahman is not any of those objects. Therefore, that experience is what no, not aparoksha jnanam. Aparoksha jnanam is not any experience. Therefore, and if at all you say you have some experience, and that experience of Brahman is only experience of Sagunam Brahma, not Nirgunam Brahma. And that Sagunam Brahma can be what? Sagunam Brahma must be either it is in Adidaiva Upadi Avachinna Brahma, Chaitanyam Brahma, or Adhyatma Upadi Avachinnam Chaitanyam Brahma. Conditioned. Whereas what the Brahman that we just discussed here, isn't it, is not Sopadhikam Brahma, Upadi Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma. What is discussed here is Nirupadhikam Brahma. Isn't it? The Brahman which is not conditioned by any Upadhis. Which means the pure consciousness. Is it clear? Therefore, that is why in the mantra, the next line he says, Yadasyatvam Yadasya Deveshu. So the Brahman which is available for experience as Sagunam Brahma, is it? As a mental condition, one's own mental condition, is also what? That yadasyatvam, that states in you as your own mental condition which you experience, which is Sagunam Brahma, which is Adhyatma Upadi Avahita Chait Parichinna or Avahita Chaitanyam Brahma, Sagunam Brahma. And the next one, Yad Asya Deveshu, that stands for what now? Adidaiva Upadi Avachinna or Parichinna, we can say that, Parichinna Brahma, Chaitanyam Brahma. So Brahman conditioned by the Devata Upadi is what now? Also Sagunam Brahma. The Brahman conditioned by a given mental condition which you get as a result of meditation. That's what that Brahman is available for such experience, no doubt. Isn't it? Anything which is experienced is Brahman only. Therefore, any special experience which you have also, very special experience you have also, like for a long time working very hard, you may have the experience of direct experience of devatas. You may have direct experience of some condition of your mind. So adhyatma, still that Brahman is what? Conditioned by your own mental state or conditioned by given devata upadhi. Therefore it's adhyatma upadhi avahita chaitanyam brahma, sagunam brahma, and our adidaiva upadhi parichinnam or avachinna chaitanyam brahma. Therefore, Sagunam Brahma, but the Brahma just discussed here is not Sagunam Brahma, it is Nirgunam Brahma. Why? Because experience of such Sagunam Brahma is not of any use. Why? Because there is no moksha in that experience, if at all you experience. That experience involves great effort. If at all you have such experience of, people get, no? It can be any experience, ordinary experience, very special experience, mystic experience. I tell you, don't go after mystic experiences. People are so much given to mystic experiences. Any mystic experience is what? Saguna Brahma. Okay, any object, anything which is any Brahman experience is what now? Sagunam Brahma. Brahman experience is Sagunam Brahma. Because, you know, second thing other than Brahma, isn't it? The experienced is Brahma. Experience is Brahma. Experienced is Brahman means what? Sagunam Brahma. Experiencer Brahma means what now? Nirgunam Brahma. Experienced also is Brahma. Ellame onnu sollume. Where is this empty sitting there or what? Is anything other than Brahman? Sagunam Brahma. Paridada, what he says, that's what he mentioned, the two types of Sagunam Brahma. Isn't it? Adidaiva Upadi Avachinnam Brahma, Adhyatma Upadi Avachinnam Brahma. The two he is mentioning as what? Yadasyatvam, yadasya deveshu. Okay? Even if you say the Sagunam Brahma, that Sagunam Brahma is not the Brahman discussed in Kenopanishad here. We are interested in only Nirgunam Brahma, which is not something to be known or attained, something to be claimed as one's own Swarupam. Therefore, what now? Mimamsyamevate. Therefore, your understanding is something to be well analyzed. Better reconsider your understanding. Reanalyze and make sure your understanding of Brahman, your nature of the aparoksha jnanam is very clearly understood by you or not. Okay? And he says that. Thereafter, no, Kishankara says, Tasmade Yuktameva Aha Acharyaha Yadi Ityadi. Now, that Shankara says, therefore, Yuktameva Eva Aha Acharyaha. The what the teacher has said is correct only. Is it? It is very important for the teacher, because why the doubt comes, the teacher is so clear in what he is teaching. The teacher must be very clear that the student also understood very clearly. The teacher's doubt about student's clarity, what now? May give room for teacher's clarity also. Doubt may come. The teacher is clear at all. So here, Shankara says, no. The teacher, isn't it? The teacher's diffidence actually is why? Because he wants to, it is very appropriate for the teacher to have said this, to make sure that the student has right understanding of the nature of aparoksha jnanam. He does not mistake any mystic experience for, isn't it? Brahman experience. I experience Brahman. I experience the self. I have that experience, this experience. Any experience is rubbish. It is not moksha. There's any experience is Sagunam Brahma only. Sagunam Brahma experience. And Nirgunam Brahma is never experienceable. Non-objectifiable, isn't it? Non-experienceable, isn't it? Non-victimizable consciousness is Swarupam of every mind, every knower, and that is Brahman. Therefore he says, and here what Shankara does is, why the teacher he says, Yadi kadachit manyase su veda iti, sushtu veda aham brahma iti. Why he suppose, he says, if you think you know Brahman very well, then kadachit yathashrutam durvigneyamapi. Kshina doshaha sumedhaha kaschit pratipadyate kaschit na iti sa ashankam aha. Shankara is supporting the teacher in his Bhashya commentary. Why the teacher is asking like this? Because this teacher has no doubt. Teacher is very clear. But still, the student teacher, why does the teacher ask this question? No? Because there are students are all of not the same levels. There are Uttamaha Sishyaha, Manda Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, Adama Adhikari, dullest, or brightest. The students are of different levels. And there are some students, it means what? Nobody is considered inferior, superior. The one who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikari, one whose mind is free from, you know, this vikshepas and malam, his mind is pure, isn't it? Free from all this ragadvesha, etc. Not afflicted by such things. Such a mind, whose mind is free from vikshepa and malam, etc. For such a person, Shastra Shravanam, isn't it? Immediately, he can just exclude the mind and claim Sri Swarupam being Brahman. Very quick. So he thought that some students are like that. Very bright students are there. Even Durvigyayam api, even though it is not easily comprehensible, even though Param Brahman is not easily comprehensible, even though it has to be comprehended with the difficulty, but still the person who is prepared minded, ready minded, kshena doshaha, one who is endowed with the pure and steady mind because of his clean life and all that, sumedhaha, highly intelligent and bright, sharp person of sharp intellect, kaschite, pratipadyate, quickly he understands. Isn't it? What does he understand? He, without understanding, he understands. Isn't it? Comprehension of the non-comprehensible. Isn't it? He understands. But kaschitinna, there are some students who, do not understand. Kaschitinna, kaschitta, pratipadyate. Some students understand. One understands, one doesn't understand. Why? Because one is not ready for the knowledge. With that is why, in order to make sure every student in the class understands properly, okay, this student asked this. Because the people will question all these things. Why does the teacher ask this question at all? Does it mean that the teacher doesn't understand at all? The student teacher is so clear. And the teaching system is made so clear, the student cannot have any doubt at all. Why should the teacher ask this question? You know, some people ask, Shankara says, no, because there are people who are qualified, sumedhaha, kshina doshaha, one student, isn't it? He understands very quickly. There are students now who are not ready for this. So, he doesn't understand. Therefore, in order to make sure that all the students equally understand the nature of aparoksha jnana, no, he just wants to make sure that everybody understands, and he asked this question. And he said this, if you think you know, you do not know. You know very little. And even if you think, I have some experience. And even if you think, I know, I have experience of this devata, etc., they're all Saguna Brahma only. That's not Nirguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma experience, something you may like it, it may make you feel good emotionally, isn't it? But still, it is, there's no moksha. Still, Dvaitam is there. And the mukti kadayat. Namak, there's no. Isn't it? That's what he says. Then, next, what he says. He is quoting something from, beautiful quotation from, Shankara quotes a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad. And he presents the context. Now which context? He says, why is it not possible for some students to understand clearly if they are not qualified? How is it possible for some students who are qualified to understand? We ask the question. To make it very clear, Shankara presents a situation here. And he quotes from Chandogya Upanishad. In Chandogya Upanishad, now that's called Pajapatya Prakranam. You know, Prajapati Prakranam. And there, Hiranyagarbha Parabrahma himself comes as a Vedanta teacher. And he teaches, you know, this Devendra. He also teaches now Virochana. He teaches all of them, all the students. And who was the teacher? Lord Brahma himself was the teacher. Devendra was a student, Virochana was a student. What happens is Devendra, Virochana, when he taught very clearly what is Atma, and he quotes the sentence. And in spite of being taught by Brahma, the Virochana immediately heard a little bit, isn't it? Heard, he drank, misunderstood. He took the body as the Atma. Being taught by Brahma, there was a student who took body as the Atma. And having heard it, he didn't stay for a whole class. He left immediately. He became a teacher, like school tutors. Okay. And Indra also was there. Indra did not understand. Indra goes once. No. Comes back. Again goes. Even then didn't understand. Again goes. Didn't understand. Fourth time he went. He understood. Indra had to go back four times. And Virochana heard once. He didn't understand. He went out. He taught everybody, taught teaching everybody, Atma is, what now, body is Atma. So all the people who follow, they are what now, Dehatma Vadinaha, Charvakas are all said to be students of Virochana. Okay. See now, Charvakas also are students of Brahma. Indra was also sort of Brahma. Even Brahma himself being the teacher, it is natural for one. So Dehatma Vadinaha, the Charvakas. But they all come what now? Teachers of Asura. They became Asuras. The big story, okay? We'll talk about this time. We'll make our time.
12:15.
So good, you don't
want to stop this. Isn't it? So you don't want me to read what Brahma says and all that?
start a long story.
Huh?
Start later.
Okay. Look at what Brahma, it's a beautiful thing, you know why? What he says there, he tells, what he does, okay, I'll close it. He talks about this Vishwaha. See? The Vishwaha. Vishwaha means what? The Sakshi, the witness of the waking state experience. The experiencer of the waking state is Vishwaha. And Taijasaha, the experiencer of the dream experience. Swapnaha. Then the witness of, the Sakshi of the deep sleep state. Pragyaha. Is it? Three. The Sakshi, the experiencer of the dream, the waking and the deep sleep state, the Sakshi is Atma. And apart from that, without any of these Sakshyas also, without any of these experiences also, what is there is what now? Not as a Sakshi also, okay, without the Sakshyas also, any of the Sakshya, what the one who is there as a Sakshi in every set of experience is Atma Brahman. And Turiyaha, like the fourth person, one who is without the Sakshya also. Chaturtaha, Turiyaha, is what now? Or is pure consciousness Atma? The Atma is Brahma. He showed the connection. Brahman, isn't it? What is Atma? Sakshi alone is Atma. Sakshi is pure consciousness. The Sakshi obtaining associated with the, as a Vishwa, with the waking state experience. The experience are associated with the dream state, Swapna, Taijasaha. Sakshi, the witness associated with the deep sleep state, Pragyaha. And that Sakshi is what? Nothing but Brahman, Atma. That Sakshi, without the Sakshyam also, is like what now? Like the fourth person. With the Turiyaha Atma. The Turiya Sthiti or anything, okay. The Turiya state or anything. The pure consciousness is Brahma. Is what he taught. And when he that's why he gives an example, he explains what is Brahman there. So Brahma teaches. And Virochana, without even listening to the teacher properly, he jumps up and goes to, he becomes a teacher. Okay? And he just body, Atma is body, Brahman is body. So later on, Charvaka school, school of thought, isn't it? Dehatma vadinaha, those who take body as the Atma. And those people, isn't it? Said to be. So Asura's teacher, Virochana. And Indra, first time he went, and he was presenting it. And second time he goes, and third time also goes. And fourth time he understands. Fourth time he understands that what he said in the first time as a witness of the waking experience, witness of the dream, witness of the deep sleep state, that witness Sakshi alone is what? Brahma. Consciousness. He understands that. Isn't it? Therefore, even what Shankara says, even in that Chandogya Upanishad, being taught by Brahma, Devendra, and Asurendra, isn't it? lot of asuras. Both the leaders were taught, so they'll teach their own battalions. But even Asura, the lord of asuras came, Virochana, and then even then he misunderstood, isn't it? Therefore, it is possible for the teacher to have students of different levels. Different levels mean what now? Being qualified minded, unqualified people for knowledge. It takes time. Therefore, the teacher, what teacher repeated, the teacher asks this question, it is right on the part of the teacher to say this. It is not wrong. Shankara establishes that. You will question, why should the teacher ask like this, if he taught correctly? Nice, isn't it? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
So, the mind is a reflective medium, yes? Reflected in the mind is the words of Shruti. What, see?
The medium of what?
Self-knowledge. To know Brahman.
The reflection, don't take it as serious reflective energy. It's not a typical mirror in the reflection. Now I say, this reflects light means what?
Yeah, but you said that you know, you need a reflecting medium.
No, for it to manifest, yeah.
Yeah, so mind is a reflecting medium.
Shakti, Maya itself is, okay, say for Brahman to exist, Brahman is not dependent on Maya. Because Maya has no independent existence outside of Brahman.
Yeah.
Okay. Maya is the power of Brahman, not separable. But really, but Maya needs to become manifest for Brahman to become manifest. Listen, manifestation of Maya, the power becomes manifest. There is then that manifest power becomes manifesting medium for Brahman. The power is unmanifest, avyaktam. The Brahman is just Brahman.
See, but if the manifesting medium is the pramana, I mean, the means to know, the means for Brahman...
No, to know Brahman, not Brahman, not to know Brahman.
To know the reflection of Brahman. Well, I mean, that's all we're talking about, isn't it? But what is reflected? I mean, obviously it's not Brahman reflected. Is it this what we're reflecting on? Is this Brahman? Is this the... See, what I can't understand is, what is this Shruti Pramana?
What Shruti is... That is a Shruti's words, when unfolded properly, you know, Shruti's words unfolded properly, there's a knack how it is, the built-in methodology, using the words, isn't it? There's a way how it makes you, it helps you to process your, revise the processing of your experiences. Understand what I'm saying? It helps you to revise the processing of your experience. See, you already, you don't experience a repetitive, there is experience, you have experiences, isn't it? All the time experiences are there.
Yeah.
So experiences prove what? The experiences are being there. You see, there is an experiencer, isn't it? Experiences are there. Experiencer is there, therefore. The experiencer is not something newly experienced. Already available experiencer. That is why it's accomplishing the already accomplished. Experience is already known to you. Isn't it? But here, only thing is you mistake the relative experiencer for the absolute experiencer. That's why the processing your experiences, isn't it? There is some problem. If when Shastram only helps you to revise the processing of your experiences, and that helps you to claim. It is not a new, it's not something, you're not knowing something unknown to you. See, the thing is, Shruti, it doesn't give you new experience, isn't it?
That became very clear today. But what, see, the thing is that some people say that the words of the Upanishad, so we have to just, maybe only some of us have to clear this, but we were all told the words of the Upanishad are Brahman. You know, this is Brahman. And the words of the Upanishad have been given this sort of like really heightened status. They're saying this is Brahman. If you only understood it,
Those are not simply words, not simply saying the words. Aham Brahmasmi. Say, what is it?
No, the understanding in these words. No, that's clear.
Understanding what you claim is unfolded, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is why you have to say, even here, we have to say so many things.